Blog Talk Radio.
The Haas Block Talk Radio here this morning with Brother Anthony Norris as we continue our journey of enlightenment and with regards to you and federal injured employees. Good morning, Mr. Norris.
Good morning to you, young man. Thanks for having me this morning.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my brother. How's my audio? Are you getting any feedback?
I am getting an echo this morning, Ken.
Okay, let me just switch something real quick.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
How is that, brother? Is that better?
Okay, yeah, that's a little better.
Oh, okay, good deal then. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Kenny Hodge, and I'm here this morning to talk federal injured employees with none other than Mr. Norris. Good morning, Mr. Norris. And since we're starting over, how are you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm feeling blessed this morning. I woke up, so I knew right away it was going to be a good day.
See, that's that kind of positive that we speak into the positivity. We speak into the atmosphere that not only do you have a good day, but others are blessed by that also.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm talking to postal employees as I do on a regular basis. And now, I don't know, this seems to be a major concern. And we discussed this, but again, sometime with the audience and the people that I work with, repetition is always a good thing. I'm hearing a lot of complaints from postal employees now. And the complaint has moved from what papers do I file to management is not representing themselves properly. In other words, they're filing paperwork, but now there seems to be a major, when I say major, I mean a lot of people contact me. They're having injuries at work, and their paperwork is just not getting sent in by the post office.
Okay, we can address that.
Let's open up with that, because that seems to be, you know, I get called, how do I, you know, the basic questions that they're asking me is, how do I know if my paperwork was sent in, or how do I know if the post office did the right thing? And if we could just touch on that this morning, that would be outstanding.
Basically, like anything in life, there's a process. There are steps that has to be followed in order for a task to be completed. And when it comes to filing a claim, I tell people that you don't have to take my word for it. You know, read the information at hand. So what does that mean? If you look at the fourth page of a CA-1, CA-2, it explains it has the instructions on what everyone should do. Your job as an injured worker is to complete page one. Make a copy of it. Page two is for your employer. Your employer has 10 working days to complete their portion of the claim. Page three is the receipt page. So when you go to file that claim and you hand that to your supervisor and let them know that you will be filing a claim, your supervisor is instructed per page four to sign the receipt page and hand that back to you right there on the spot. So I tell people, do not walk away. I don't care if they're busy. They have time to give you a signature. Now, once that's done, for the most part, you're in good shape, because The 10 working days start from the date that's signed on that third page of the claim. So that's your proof. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that the agency is going to do their part within the 10 days. So we do have a contact number that you can call the Department of Labor to check the status to see if the agency has filed that claim or not. A lot of people get frustrated where I turn my claim in and no one has turned it over to the Department of Labor. So we tell people, don't worry about that to some degree, only because when you follow the rules, by having a copy of their receipt page, you can now demonstrate to the Department of Labor that you have filed a claim. Okay? So you're in good shape when it comes to that. Once you contacted the Department of Labor and you send over that proof, which we have people send it certified mail so someone signs off on it, the Department of Labor will issue you a claim number. Now, you can't eat over that receipt page because technically the Department of Labor does not know that you have filed a claim. So that's why we have them reach out with the letter as well as proof that they are filing a claim. And the Department of Labor will contact that agency and see why you were impeded or they didn't do their part to get that claim filed with the Department of Labor. And as a penalty, per the rules, if your agency does not, or better yet, impede you from filing a claim, that individual who signed that receipt page can get a $500 fine and or 1 year imprisonment, or up to 1 year imprisonment. So they take that your rights very, very seriously when it comes to filing a claim. But most people don't know this simple process. One, they don't read. Go to page 4, and all that is right there in writing. So people are going to be people. Your agency is going to give you pushback for a myriad of reasons, which we've covered on various calls. But at the end of the day, you follow the process, and you're going to get what you deserve and what you've earned.
I appreciate that because, let me tell you, that was they really appreciate it too. But that was a major concern from employees. And again, just to show you how stubborn some agencies can be, the agency always gave you the receipt page. You always had proof, but now we have a contact number to check and a person like yourself that could provide guidance once it's not being done. So that makes it even more profound that I've instructed employees, once you turn that in, get your receipt. And they've been pretty good as far as handing the receipt back to them. But then from the time the supervisor signed and returns the receipt to employee, I don't think that there's any time limit greater than 10 days that they have to get the paperwork to the Department of Labor. And I'm saying where I work, sometimes that's 20 days, sometimes that's 30 days after the date of receipt. And that's being compounded with the claim being rejected. So
you do file a grievance that your agency did not submit that claim within the 10 working days. Because, again, you want to document everything. Now, again, just because that's the rules, people break the rules all the time. So your agency, they're not going to, you know, depend on your supervisor, not going to do what they're supposed to do. So you have to paper trail it. And paper trail simply means document everything, everything.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that. And to all the listeners out there, let me tell you, when we say document everything, trust me, that is the best way to show a continual line of concern or chain of custody, so to speak. But let me tell you something about documenting everything. It is a tedious process that you have to make sure that if it is your desire to bring a claim or allegations of claims not being filed, you have to take that time and make sure you keep your documentation crisp. And everybody says that very easy, but at the end of the day, when you come home from work, the last thing you really feel like doing is sitting down writing notes or documenting what happened. But you have to do these things in order to be able to show that in a case of an injury, you did the right thing, the agency didn't, and therefore we can help expedite your benefits if you are so entitled to any.
Right.
Yeah, that was.
Can I piggyback on what you just mentioned, Mr. Hines?
Oh, definitely, sir.
I want to inform the listeners that at the end of the day, this is your claim. So the most active person should be you. You want to make sure that all of your documentation is done properly. That way you have an argument as far as with the Department of Labor as to what happened or did not happen. So you can't leave that task to someone else. That responsibility is completely yours. And even those who I work with that are listening, they will attest to, hey, I'm here to assist. But at the end of the day, it's your claim. You are numero uno. So I'm here for the guidance and to make sure that, you know, you understand how to go. Now, supposed to go and how it goes, yeah, sometimes those things don't always match up. However, these claims getting denied and for various reasons, one thing I will say about the Department of Labor, they're going to tell you exactly why. And one of the biggest things is timely filing. If your claim is not timely filed, you could have an issue. Like I mentioned on a previous call, CA-1s are to be filed within 30 days of the date of injury. So you have almost a full month to file that claim. After 30 days, they figure you must be okay enough, unless, you know, you're in a coma or something like that. But if you are cognitive, you're able to file that claim at a later date as long as it's within 30 days. So when these claims get denied, I see denial letters all the time. And at the end of the day, the OWCP is much like any other insurance company. And they follow the 3 Ds like everybody else. Delay, deny, don't pay. That's just the rule of the insurance game. But as we know, when you proof up, you will get the benefits that are due to you. So another thing is, hey, you guys are mail handlers and clerks and you know, you have a whole different task every day that you do for a living. And workers' comp is not that. So you want to align yourself with someone who knows what the protocol is and how it's supposed to go. And that's what I bring to the table.
Yeah, and again, you bring a much needed gift to the table. And even though the information you provide and the guidance that you provide is absolutely free, it gets to be mind-boggling sometimes when I hear employees won't take the time to make the call. Now, again,
right.
One thing Mr. Norris said, you have to be the most active, because what we tend to do is we file paperwork, then we sit back and we wait for management to run this thing through a process, knowing full well that our management personnel, and I'm only speaking where I work, it's not competent. But we sit back and we let that happen. So what we do is we prepare ourselves to be angry. But one of the most important things, right, I heard this morning is you have to be your own drum major. When you file a claim, again, it doesn't mean every day you have to sit outside the supervisor's office. But when you file that claim, you have to follow up on it. You have to show interest, because what happens is if they initially forgot to do it, by you being persistent as to making sure you get the care you're entitled to, they can't forget every day. So if I'm asking what's the status of my claim, the first time you ask a supervisor that, it's a real good chance that claim never left. But now guess what? You just triggered something to let that supervisor know you're going to continue to follow up. And again, so sometimes you got to help them do what's right. But you also have to understand, and when I say you, we as employees, that nobody is ever going to care about you like you're supposed to care about yourself. So when you file that claim, like Mr. Norris said, you stay on top of it. And again, don't stay on top of it in a badgering way. Don't motivate your supervisor not to help you, even though that's still their job. But again, we want to come in a manner that says, I'm here for information, not confrontation.
Right. And let me piggyback with this comment also. Hey, feel good about the fact that I have the receipt page in my hand, so I'm good. I'm going to give you guys 10 working days, and it's going on in your head. I'm going to give the agency 10 working days to file my claim. And you can write that date down somewhere, put it on a post-it note, put it on your calendar reminder. You know, after that 10th working day, you can say, hey, have you filed my claim? No, I didn't get a chance to do it. I'll do it today. No worries. I'm going to call the DOL and move forward at that point. So you've given the agency, according to the rules, their time frame to do what you need to do. So you just move on to the next step. And I do have a telephone number that you guys can call the Department of Labor if you file the claim and it's been more than 10 working days and you just want to see if they received it yet. And if not, you know, tell them, well, hey, I have my receipt page and I want to move forward with this claim. And don't worry about the agency.
Yeah, I would really appreciate that number. I'd like to put that out to people. But what I try to do is put your number out to them, because sometimes when you're giving people slices of information, some of the pieces could get misscrewed to be wrong. I do. I like to send them to you, Brother Anthony, and let you give them the whole pie. And this is, you know, because, you know, yeah, that's so. So that number, maybe the next time we get together or you put some new flyers out, we could put that number on there. But as far as I'm concerned, if they need that number, then I feel they need your number, because there's a few more issues they might want to look at in order to get their claim submitted properly.
That's true, because it's not a complaint hotline, not at all. And if you abuse it, then, you know, naturally things will continue to go downhill for you for there. So I get that. But, yeah, just for the listeners, yeah, we do have that. And once everything is properly documented and that call is necessary, and only when it's necessary is when we make that call.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I'll deflect into you. I try to be good at what I'm good at. And if I'm not good at it, I want to know somebody who's good at it so I can still be good at sending them to you. You know, because it's very important. But for years, having the right information, and then not having the right information means you continually hear bad information from other employees who think they got the right information. And this is not a real hard process. It's a timely process. And just the fact that it's a timely process means the post office, 80% off the rip, is not going to comply. Excuse me, I know we're here talking about OWCP and Department of Labor, but I'm trying to educate my folks. They're not going to comply. And I really don't mean that negatively. I mean that factually. So it is important that we stay on top of this.
Understood.
Yeah. You know, some of the other issues that we're running into, and again, We've covered this several times, but we can never cover it enough. An employee told me last week that management sent them to the postal doctor, and I know this is incorrect, and he wanted to go to his own doctor, and they told him, no, you can't. We've selected a doctor for you, and from my understanding, forced him to go with a doctor they selected.
Okay. Again, that is false information as far as you have. In 1974, the Federal Employees Compensation Act was amended and added that benefit of you being able to choose your own physician as well as continuation of pay. So those two things actually came into existence within the same year of each other. So if you go to the FICA laws, U.S. 5, I think, -5, 8103 the third paragraph, which I read to you guys last week, says medical services and initial medical and other benefits. And the second sentence, and it's underlined, the employee may initially select a physician to provide medical services, appliances, and supplies in accordance with such regulations and instructions as the secretary considers necessary. And yeah, that's legal mumbo jumbo, but at the end of the day, it's saying you can choose your own doctor. So you go where you believe. It could be your primary care physician. If that's where you want to go, you get to choose. Now, behind the scenes, we know that everything is money driven, and the agency, especially on CA1, you know, they have a budget to protect. And if you have a CA1, they know automatically the first 45 days, if you're taking off from work, they got to pay you up to 75% of your base pay if you got dependents, 66 2/3 if you do not, and they got to put someone else in your place to do the job that you're no longer able to do at that particular time for one job to be done. And no company wants to spend money, even though there's a budget set for it, for work-related injuries or anything else they don't have to spend money on. So they're going to give the pushback. I want to remind the listeners that that's systematic. That is not personal. Although many, many people I interview take it very personal. And the first thing I'm going to say, tell everyone, even today, that is a systematic approach to anyone. Hell, it could be your supervisor. This very person that's giving you this pushback, let them get hurt, and they're going to become public enemy number one just like you.
That is so true, my brother. That is so true, because we see that every day. And you know what? That's an excellent point, man, letting folks know that you're right. It ain't personal. That's just the way they do business, man. It ain't right, but don't take it personal.
Right. However, that's why it's important that you follow the rules. At the end of the day, you're going to get what you're supposed to. Yeah, it may be a little frustrating, you know. It's like I tell people, if you were taking a road trip, okay, you get the car all packed up, you got a 3-hour drive, and along the way it starts raining very, very bad, blinding rain. Do you stop, turn around, and go back home? Or do you stay the course and say, we're still headed to our destination? Well, filing the claim can be very similar to that. Along the way, you're going to run into some scattered showers, some blind, but you keep moving forward. And at some point, you get to your destination. Now, where it would normally be a 3-hour drive, now it's a 4-hour drive, but you still move forward and you still go. So it's a systematic approach.
Yeah, you hit on some really nice top and key points that most people, again, it's going to provide a level of comfort. I mean, again, not comfort, but to understand that it's not you, it's everybody. So in order for us as a union to change that, then everybody has to bring those complaints to me, so that now when I lodge a complaint that they're doing this to 10, 15 people, well, it's not just going to be a mistake anymore. Somebody's going to force them to address it.
Yeah. A lot of times in life, when things happen to us, we believe we're the only one in the world that this is happening to. We can't believe it. Everybody outside of us looks like everything is going so well in their lives. You know, they're getting everything that they want. But here I am. I've dedicated my physical services to my job for the last 18 years. Never missed a day of work. I don't call off. I get a legitimate injury, and I'm just looking for some help, and I'm getting all this pushback. So you take it very personal. But what you don't realize is that the system is designed for that, period. So the system don't look at you personally. It doesn't know you no more than the other thousands of federal employees. But it's going to give you guys the same. And you don't know that until you actually go through it. And part of the design is to frustrate you and make you give up and just go back to work and deal with it. But you're the one that has to go home and deal with that pain. You're the one having sleepless nights. You're the one that's about to repair itself as quick as it used to when you were younger. So technically, the body could potentially get worse if it's not properly treated early on. So I tell people, You can be frustrated and quit and just go to work hurt, but you're the one that's living with the pain. And the people that you're mad at, they're not feeling your pain. And you best believe when they go home to their loved ones, they're not thinking about you. So you have to do what's best for you. And this was set up 102 years ago for federal employees to get what's medically necessary if it's done correctly. So it's right there for you.
Yeah, you're definitely hitting on some key points tonight, again, about understanding the process. And as with any other process, before you can make it work for you, you have to understand how it works. And today, you've given us a lot of insight into that. And I hope, again, as I post these out there, understand this is just knowledge. This is just good food for not anybody, for everybody. And notice, we're talking one policy, one way of doing things that should bring relief to any federal employee injured at work. And you, folks, you have to hear this and stop allowing yourself not to be active, especially if the process directly involves you. Now, I don't know what could be a better motivator for you to get active in this process. And when I say get active, listen to the podcast, learn your rights, exercise your rights. Because, again, education without application, we've just wasted everybody's time. So as you're being educated, again, you double check. You read the forms that Mr. Nahr speaks of so that there's nothing more powerful than hearing something, and then you go back to fact check it, and it is just like you heard it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's
Go ahead, excuse my brother. I would challenge anyone that, again, you don't have to take my word for it. I'm telling you where I'm getting this information from. It's practiced every day. So while you at home or at work on your lunch break, go to Google. Type in CA1, print one out, go to page 4 and read it. It's not real lengthy. It's one page. And it breaks down what everybody's supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. So I'm not making this stuff up. And again, the one message I want to make on every call as to the listeners, this is not about being confrontational. It's not about being mad and making decisions and actions that was going to cause adverse reaction. It's not about that. It's about understanding the process. Like I said, it's like taking a road trip. We've all taken them. We've all ran into the rainstorms, construction, accidents. All type of stuff happens on a road trip. Hell, that could happen just on your day, on your way to work. You know. So, but you still move forward through all of that, and the workers' comp process is very much the same. So working with even a guy with specialized knowledge as myself that works the program, you know, we still run into, potholes along the way, but we overcome them and we keep moving forward. So.
Hey, Mr. Norris, as always, I always thank you on Thursday morning for taking time out of your day to come and hang out with me and my postal employees and any other federal employees who become interested in their own well-being. Again, I say thank you, sir. I can't wait till next Thursday, and we'll have another action-packed show for the audience. Have a great day, Mr. Norris.
Thank you, sir. You have one as well.
And a face that would make any man.